Matthew chapter number 8. Matthew chapter number 8. And while you're turning there, I want to say I thank the Lord for a great opportunity to be in His house. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing that God would afford us another day to come into His house and to worship Him. I just wanted to start something. I don't know if you know how far I'll get into it this evening, but Matthew chapter number 8, the Bible said, when He was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed Him. Behold, there came a leper and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth His hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, see thou tell no man, but go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's as far as I'll read. There's a lot of reading that could take place. In this chapter, even on down in verse 18, now when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave commandment to depart to the other side. And a certain scribe came and said unto him, Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. Verse 23, and when he was entered into a ship, his disciples followed him. I want to concentrate a little bit this evening on this thought. I will follow Jesus. What does it mean? Follow the Lord. There are a lot that say, Lord, I'll follow thee, just like the man over in verse number 19, whithersoever thou goest, Jesus said unto him, the foxes have holes. I want you to know something about following me. The foxes have holes, the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. Up until this time, great multitudes had been following him, a lot of for what they felt like maybe they could gain. And the Lord said, if you're going to follow me, you may not even have a place to lay your head a lot of times. It can't be about the things that most men or women desire when they begin to follow someone or something. It's not about the carnal following him. It's not about the earthly following him. But it's about following him. What it is to follow him. When he has come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And I thought about this. You have to go all the way back to chapter number 4, verse 23. Jesus went about all Galilee teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. He was at the height of his healing ministry. All healing all manner of sickness and disease. And in verse 25 of chapter 4, there followed him great multitudes of people from Galilee, Decapolis, Jerusalem, Jordan, and from beyond Jordan. People were following him. He was healed all manner of diseases in verse 24, and torments. Those that were possessed with devils were lunatic. Those that had palsy, he healed them. He healed them. There followed him great multitudes. Chapter 5, and seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. We have chapter 5, chapter 6, chapter 7 of our Lord's biggest recorded sermon, the Sermon on the Mount. And in that Sermon on the Mount, he talks about somebody that truly is a follower, those that want to follow him, what they must do, things a man or a woman must lay aside or that they cannot do if they're going to follow him. What it meant to really follow him. I think that's what his Sermon on the Mount was about. What does it mean to follow me? You want to follow me? I want to teach you some things. I want to teach you some things about me, about God, about the way that you should live, the way that you'll have to live. Now, our Lord's messages got stronger and stronger. They had come to the point where they could not handle the words of our Lord, and many went away. Now, that was in another chapter. But what I'm saying is, at first, it was this great campaign of the power of the Lord, graciously healing, graciously feeding, miraculously providing. Anybody follow the Lord that way? Who wouldn't? Every time somebody you knew and loved was sick, bring them to the Lord, bam, healed. Didn't matter what it was. You got a daughter dying, bring her to the Lord. He'll stop the death. You got a son just died, he'll raise him from the dead. Many followed the Lord on those circumstances. And so over and over, you can read this great Sermon on the Mount, the Beatitudes, the fruit of those that are true followers, telling us that those that are that way are the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Just think about that one thing, the light of the world. And he gave the illustration in chapter 5 in verse 15, right after he said, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Example, neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light to all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, glorify your Father, which is in heaven. What are we? A candle. Somebody that truly follows Christ is a candle. And he said, you're the light of the world. Now you think about that, the teaching that surrounds that. A candle believer. What is a candle believer? Well, that candle, it was created by another. all that it is come from the creation of another. Someone created that. The strength to shine, whether it was a little candle or a big candle, was from another, given from another. The starting of the light came from another. That candle didn't light itself. Somebody lit it. The station of a candle. No man putteth a candle on a candlestick. It was put on the stick from another. Nothing this candle has done has been of its own doing. It's service to give light. Well, that was from it's the flame on the candle. The flame on the candle come from another. And then the glory. Of God, to glorify God. That's why it was to glorify your Father which is in heaven. All that it is was on behalf of another or because of another. It was just a candle made, created, but then lit, placed, burning, all for His glory. It just was what it was purposed to be. I don't have time to go through all of these. Some great studies about the salt of the earth and how our Lord, the things that He said to them at that time, the weight of what it meant that their life would be not their own but for another. But up until this time, it was about what? How can I benefit? How can I benefit? Our Christian life is never going to go anywhere if I'm wanting to see how I can benefit. We've taught, this is the solid crowd here tonight of believers. I'm not telling you anything new, but you know our prayers should not always be, Lord, I need, Lord, I need, Lord, give, Lord, give. But God, help me to give to You. Help me to surrender to You. Help me draw nigh to You. God, let Christ shine through my life. Christ in us, the hope of glory, the great epistles that Paul wrote about the Christ life to the Romans, to the Philippians, the Ephesians, the Colossians, all of them. It was the Christ life. God in them, changing them, molding them, working through them. New creatures, newly made for His purpose to follow Him. Great multitude. Followed Him. If you look through this chapter, what does it mean to follow Him? You'll be blessed. Salt, light, law keepers. The Lord told them, think not that I'm come to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. We are keepers of God's law. It is now written in our heart. The Gentiles, that's us that are saved, do by nature the things contained in the law. We could not have done that outside of being saved, of having Christ in us. How do we follow Him? Why would I follow Him? What purpose do I have in following Him? Is it just to get along in this world from day to day, from week to week? Or do I really want to burn? Do I really want to shine? Do I really want to experience His power in my life? Do I really want to know when I am praying that I am indeed talking to my Creator and my High Priest? Surely that should be what it means to follow the Lord. Amen. To have His Word in us. Have God speaking to us through His Word. Our communication between us and God must significantly come by the Word. I know the Holy Spirit can say things to us, but 99.99 times He's going to take the words in this book to direct us. I know every now and then the Lord, like I said, I believe that. I've experienced that. And I know there may be Baptist preachers that don't believe the Holy Spirit gives us any kind of direction. But I've had the Lord tell me, stop right there and talk to that guy right there. Now that's the Holy Spirit working in my life. But the majority of the time, the Lord is using the Word that I have read, the Word that is in my heart, to direct me as to teach me, to guide me in all truth. And if we can follow that, then we can every now and then hear Him on a more personal level. Can't we? Surely. Surely we can. I will follow Him. I will be blessed. I will hunger and thirst. I'll be merciful. I'll have a pure heart. I'll be a peacemaker. I will be falsely accused for His name's sake. Amen. I will be the salt of the earth. I will be the light of the world. I will be a city. We will be a city set upon a hill. Individual lights in that city cannot be hid. What we are as a body, as a group of believers, an individual, cannot be hid. Cannot be hid. Not if we're burning. John, listen, he was all the way over in Jericho, down by the River Jordan. He'd come out of the wilderness preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. And got the attention of the high priest and all of Rome. Why? Because the Bible said he was a burning and a shining light. His ministry and his words could not be hid. His following the Lord could not be hid. They said, are you him? No, I'm not him. I'm not worthy to unlatch his shoe. He that cometh after me, there is one coming after me. He's mightier than I. What's your name, John? My name doesn't matter. But his does. What does it mean to follow him? That our righteousness would exceed that of a mere religious man. Of just merely being religious. He dealt with sins. He dealt with how to deal with people outside of the brethren, outside of the church. How to deal with our own private aughts. He told them right there in chapter number 5, in verse 23 and 24, he said, if you go to the altar and you remember while you're on the altar that your brother have aught against you, leave your gift at the altar. Go to thy brother, be reconciled, then come back. He tells us how. I was listening to a message today. This man, he was talking about prayer, and he said that this evangelist, he was at somebody's house, and was a dear person. But she was struggling in prayer. Struggling. One feeling like she just couldn't pray. Her prayers wasn't getting through to God. And so the preacher kept talking and just kept
trying to fellowship, and then finally they begin to talk about their neighbor and said, I'll tell you, sometimes I can just choke that person. I'd like to whoop them down and slap them to death. And he said, that's exactly why your prayers ain't getting answered. We cannot carry those types of things if we're going to follow him. I know our Lord, he went to the temple, and he took a bunch of cords and he whooped them devils out of there. But that's because they had turned his house that was supposed to be a house of prayer into a den of thieves. And he scourged them for their hypocrisy, trying to make money off of the poor, making their exchanges right there, selling turtle doves and whatever else that they could sell. They knew people had to have it. Making a merchandise of God's house. That's why he scourged them. But you don't find our Lord that spirit of hate is not of him. I know the Lord has been angry, righteously angry, but the spirit of hate is not of him. It's not of him. He dealt with adultery. He dealt with single-mindedness and double-minded. Religiousness. There's a lot of them living by eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to go above that. You're going to have to go above that. You're going to have to find forgiveness for those that may not even want forgiveness. That's a hard one. To give forgiveness for those who despise you and don't want forgiveness. You say, you sure, Brother Mark? Well, how many people have went to hell in their life because they didn't want to have anything to do with his forgiveness, with his love, with his mercy? Yet he loved them, didn't he? Loved them to the end. Amen. So over and over, he taught them to pray in chapter 6. It's a life of prayer, following him. It's not just a life of meat and drink. The kingdom of heaven's not meat and drink, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. It's a life of prayer. Amen. A life day by day life. A day by day life. Clarity of mind, clarity of eye. The light of the body is the eye. It's not about, a lot of people think, if they're abundantly blessed, but that's, and God does bless. God blesses us in so many ways, but he said, following me is not about laying up treasure here on the earth. It's about laying up treasure in heaven. Everything that man is, even religiously, is not the way to follow Christ. It's the opposite. And he took this wonderful Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 5, the first two verses introduce him beginning his sermon. And the last two verses of chapter 7 finish up explaining how that he had come to an end of teaching. The rest of it
If you've got a red letter Bible, it's all red letter, every bit of it.
There's four verses, two at the beginning, two at the end. That said, he started teaching, and then he ended his teaching, and the rest of it in between was teaching on how to follow him, what it meant to follow him. We could live our Christian life, a wondrous, glorious Christian life with the power of the Lord in our heart and a fire burning in us and a light shining from us, just living and walking in Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you never read anything else, because everything in 5, 6, and 7 you're going to find throughout the rest of the Scripture. Now, I'm not advocating that you not read anything. What I'm saying, these things right there that we'll spend a lifetime trying to get a handle on. Jesus saw great multitudes about it. Told us to ask. If we lacked, ask. It shall be given you. Listen, seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened. You follow me. You need something, ask me. You follow me. You're seeking for something. Seek me. You want to follow me. And you want to have the door open, knock on me. Amen. Well, that's good, ain't it? I was thinking today, I had a preacher friend ask me to pray for a special request at 1 o'clock. Still a couple of hours to go. I said, we'll be praying. And this thought come to my mind. God knows all about 1 o'clock. Listen, you've got something happening in your life this week at a certain time or a certain day. God already knows all about that day. All about that time. Amen. We just need to follow Him. We don't need to worry about that. God knows all about it. I'm glad God knows all about it. My granddaddy, if there was one thing that he might get, I don't even want to say bent out of frame, but boy, it just tormented him and his soul and his spirit, was when my grandmother would start saying something about somebody and he'd say, you need to pray for them. God knows all about that. These times, you know, Granny, we used to kid say Granny had a big sock. She had stuffed away somewhere with a lot of money in it, you know. Us grandkids, we'd act like we was hunting Granny's sock. Because, boy, I'm telling you, she'd take money and she'd hide it. And my poor old granddaddy seemed like he just from week to week. And she'd say, now, Onley, this or this or this or this or this. And he'd look at her and he'd say, Eula, God knows all about that. Like, you ain't going to blame me. God knows all about that situation. Amen. Amen. God knows all about that. He knows all about us. He knows what we need. He knows what we desire, really, from our heart. He knows your heart. He does. He knows your desire. He knows your longing. He knows what you desire from Him. He does. You keep seeking. You keep asking. You keep knocking. You keep following Him. God knows all about it. Certain
scribe came and said, "Master, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest." Well, that's a mouthful. Will we? Will I? He warned us of false prophets. Said, "Beware of them. Beware of them wolves. Don't follow false prophets and wolves, hirelings." He told of what fruit people would have. I was listening to somebody give an update about a situation in their life, and there's been people following them, you know, watching the videos. And a lot of people, they'd even say they're Christians, just almost gnashing on them. I mean, just wicked. And this lady that she's got this, I mean, her husband, he's been in a bad way. She got on there and she said, "Look, I'm doing the best I can and trying to follow the Lord." And, you know, she's talking about how some people just get on there just to try to tell her how bad of a mom she is and how bad of a person that she is. All this stuff, she said, "I want to tell you something." She said, "A lot of evidence has got rotten fruit." I was sort of glad she said that. There's a lot of people that's got rotten fruit in their life. The Lord, listen, we can't follow a person that's got that kind of fruit. They're not following the Lord. They're not following the Lord. Lord, help us to have compassion. Do the will of our Father in heaven. I'm about done. The Lord really wound it down at the end of chapter 7. He said, "He that heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them." See, it wasn't enough that they just hear. Just hearing it doesn't make us a Christian, doesn't make us a follower of Christ. There are multitudes of people that sit every week on a pew or a bench or in a seat listening, and they never do anything. Never do any of it. The Lord said, "If you want to follow me, you'll do it. You'll do my say." Chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes follow him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, "Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean." That leper was following just like everybody else. He knew in his situation, the situation of leprosy, there's only one man could help him be clean. And to be able to follow him, not being a leper. I don't want to follow him being a leper, do you? Here's what he did. He worshiped him. He didn't ask him first, Brother Danny. "Lord, I need you to heal me. I need you to fix me some bread, or I need you to feed me." No, he worshiped. Worshiped him first. And then said, "If thou wilt, thou canst." That's all he said. "God, it's your will in my life." That's what it looks like to me. "Lord, it's your will in my life. I know you can if you want to." He never said, "Lord, just do it." He said, "Lord, if thou will, thou canst make me clean. You can change my leprosy. I don't know for certain, but I think this old fellow right here, his whole desire was to worship the Lord and be clean before Him. That's what he wanted to do. He wanted to worship the Lord and be clean. But he said, Lord, only You can take this away from me. If I'm going to follow You as a non-leper, Lord, You'll have to do it. And I know You can, if You will. I know Thou canst, if You will. I know I've said this here before. When following the Lord and praying and asking God for help to supply needs, and whatever that it may be. I remember always struggling, thinking, am I doubting? Is that why God is not doing this or that? It's because I'm doubting whether He will or not. And the Lord, let me read that about that man who had the daughter that was near death. And the Lord was going to go to his house, and he said, no. He said, Lord, you don't have to come. Just speak the word only, and it'll be done. He had that much confidence in the power of the Lord. And he said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. He said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I don't know how many times I've prayed that prayer. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. I know that my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ could do far above anything that you and I could think about. What He could do in our lives, in our families, for our people, in our community, in our church, I believe. That little part in all of us that wonders, Willie, we cannot know those things. We can't know those things. I can't speak for God in situations like that. And so it causes me to doubt whether He will. I don't know that He will. And I begin to realize, Lord, I'm going to believe You will until You don't. I'm going to believe that He will until He doesn't. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. Help my unbelief. God, I believe You can add to this church. I believe You can save our children. You can save our families, our sons and daughters, our brothers and aunts and uncles, our grandparents, whoever that it may be, those that are walking in darkness and living in darkness, and they don't realize the spiritual condition they're in, God can wake them up. I know that He can. You believe that too. I know that you do. We just need to follow Him. Whatever He does, we just need to follow Him. I just need to follow Him. There are a lot of people, if they don't get what they want, they quit following. They'll just lay down and quit. Quit going, blame God. That's not going to help anyone. It's like throwing a tantrum. Spiritual tantrum. God, I didn't get my way. I just need to follow Him. Accept His perfect will. Whatever it may be. Ask God for His power and His grace in our life. Seek Him, ask Him, knock on Him. Amen. Bless His name. I'm glad He knows all about that. I want you to stand.